Okay, great, thank you. First, a big shout out to the FOSDEM organizers and the DevRoom organizers, because this is always impressive to see what collective energy can bring and build. That's really great, great event. And so I'm pleased to present to you today a tool that it will not be particle physics, so we will be going much, much, much lower scale, craftsmanship and so on. But it's a tool that could be useful for the community, for anyone communicating research or communicating whatever they want through figures and graphics. And it's a tool to implement this. So I've been writing free software for 30 years. I'm now half-time associate professor in Nantes University and half-time private consultant for a developer building things. And both sides just try to feed each other. And that's one of the examples that I want to present. So what is the thing I will present? The thing I will present is Cartable, which is an accessible instrument, a tool, a GUI, to author interactive graphics in SVG. So this is the GUI, the authoring environment, and this is one example of the thing it produces. So this is not impressive for itself, but it's SVG graphics. And I didn't build it. It's the actual users of the project that built this one. And so this is a single SVG file that has been edited through the interface to add some interactivity, like clicking on elements, displaying things, hovering. So this is not impressive at all from a technical point of view, because, okay, developers say, okay, I just can put some JS code and define elements and CSS and whatever, so this is trivial. But for actual graphic geographers or the majority of users, it's not that simple. And so building a tool, the tool I will present is a tool that tries to bridge the gap, to limit the difficulty of building these kind of things that may seem trivial. When I see this, I'm also always really pleased with the result, to see what simple tools with appropriate users can build things that are actually useful and pleasant to see. So where does it come from? So it doesn't come from I developed other free software from scratching my own itches, but this is not one of my itches. It comes from another community, which was Atlas Bleu, so it's an online geography review dedicated at sea and seaside study, and they use lots of maps. And since it's an online review, they wanted to, the itch they had was to, okay, it's frustrating to have some interactive publishing means, but not using anything interactive, so we just publish basic statical maps. So how can we produce dynamic maps if we don't have a software developer that helps us to add this interactivity? And so they tried to develop some prototypes and discuss, and then we came to discuss together, and I proposed to help them to build a tool that would enable them to build such interactive maps. The targeted scenario here. So this is very important, because the thing, and I will try to think about to provide some reflection about the process, the how we instrument the activity of the person that want to make something, and how we provide tools that help them to instrument this activity. So the activity wanted to be part of, the tool to be part of, is taking some static map figure here. Static map, it can be a map or a graphics, any kind of graphics. As you saw just before, it was just figures that were that were displayed. They're edited through some authoring software, which is Inkscape, ideally, but in reality, it's Illustrator. It's proprietary, but more used by this community and many other people. So they use Illustrator to build their graphics, and then export it in some way, and they put it on a website, which is a WordPress website. And so they upload the image, and they're done. And how do we fit into this picture? So In between, we propose to export the data from Illustrator or directly for Inkscape, since it's SVG native, so this is not an issue for Inkscape. So, and for Illustrator, you've got some export process, that is, you've got three different export processes that are slightly different, so you've got to choose the right one, but you've got an export process that produces an SVG file, and this SVG can be opened into the interface, into the Cartab interface, and the users can add their interactivity rules through a system of rules and build an interactive map out of their figure. And the software just outputs the same SVG. It tries to preserve, remove anything for it. It only adds some runtime. So obviously, you've got to have some JavaScript runtime, CSS data, and declarative rules that are embedded as metadata into the SVG file. And you get a single SVG file that you can just upload wherever you want to publish it. And you also have, but I will tell about a bit more about it. And you can also have this kind of feedback loop if you need to re-edit the original file. But I will see. So there existed in this kind of area of software, there was already some work done, but I don't know if you already tried. In Inkscape, there is some interactive mockup extension, but it's an Inkscape plugin, which has all the constraints, and especially ergonomic constraints, of being able to use only the things available to plugins. That's to say, handle a selection of elements and then clicking a button. And that's it's very difficult to use, actually. Or Illustrator also has the same kind of thing, maybe a little more ergonomic at the first. But anyway, both require to write JS code anyway to define their interactivity, which is not adequate for many of the users, and especially the ones with whom I worked. And so I took some inspiration on my side from on data inspiration, because they wanted to add interactivity, and there is a great project that Jeffrey here, so the guy who directed the thesis of Mike Bostock, and who created D3, and he also created the project Vega and Vega Lite. The project aims at defining a grammar for interactive graphics. So it's a very interesting project, and as part of this project, they've got many, so it's data-oriented, it comes from, D3 is part of the big picture, and they have this data via Voyager interface that uses drag and drop to define visualizations for data and can add some interactivity. So this was one of the inspirations for the project, but here we don't manage data, we only manage figures. And we can preserve the data if it's embedded in the SVG file, but we don't care actually about the data, which is difficult for computer scientists to imagine. So some technical details about how it works. So the goal is to have a single autonomous SVG file in the end, so that you can upload it, not to have to think about dependencies, cross-site requests, or anything, naming, file naming, or whatever. Okay, you've got a single SVG file. So you've got a small runtime, which is LGPL, embedded inside the SVG, and some interaction rules defined as metadata, defined declaratively. It's only XML nodes stored as SVG metadata. And for the moment, they're very basic. So they define an event, which is mouse over, mouse click, the standard the events that you can find into browser in a web API, and an action with parameters. I know in the back of my mind of computer scientists and previous experiences that I will soon have to add conditions, have to add state information, state handling, and whatever. But this, I restrain myself voluntarily from doing this, because it was putting too much the la charrue avant les bœufs, too much the carriage before the oxes. So it was going too fast, because I wanted to be able to observe the activity of the user, the actual activity, going from bottom up approach, and keeping things simple at start, so that they can be correctly understood and managed, and to see how we can progress from that. And so there's also a custom CSS style sheet. But and once we've got the runtime, or in parallel with the runtime, so we also built an editor, and both are also influencing each other, because okay, you don't define the same runtime if you know that you're going to edit the thing with a graphical interface afterwards, or if you know that you edit the code. You don't use necessarily the same abstractions. So it's a browser-based with drag-and-drop interactions. There's an interface designed for familiarity, so I took a lot of time observing how they were using. I didn't know Illustrator, so how they were using Illustrator, what kind of objects they were manipulating, the layers, how they named them, and so on. And we got many ideas from this. And so at first, the object inspector that we've got here was directly inspired from the Illustrator way of presenting things. Since then, we moved away because we wanted to simplify things. But at first, there was this inspiration that wanted to take experience from their actual processes. And it's built, this is just a pet peeve, it's built in vanilla.js, so you don't have any Vue or React or whatever. It's built less because I was born in the web, that you could just look at the source of a web page and learn from it and not have to fetch some repository and see how it's organized. So I want to be able to do just this. So some demo time of the interface. So this is the web interface that you can access. And so this is a basic example that we have here, but I will use the FOSDEM logo, which seems appropriate. No, it shouldn't take that much time to open. Okay, that's much better. And so you've got here the FOSDEM logo. Just one disclaimer, I cheated. I didn't cheat. It's the original one. I downloaded it from the website. But I changed one thing just for the sake of the presentation. I changed the IDs of the XML elements in it, because it was easier to say that, okay, you can see the IDs like SVG 5414, but then I can talk about dots, gear, and right dot and left dot instead of the same SVG 1464 or whatever. So I just changed the IDs of the elements that are presented here in the interface. And then when you've got this kind of file, so you can see which elements, when you move the mouse over an element, you can see what element is concerned. And for instance, I can add some interactivity based on the right dot. So I take the right dot, I create a new rule. If you click, sorry for non-French speaking, this is a to-do item that will come in the next slide. Internationalization is not yet here, but it's one of the rare occasions where it's non-English speaking people who are advantaged. So if you click on the right dot, then you can just inverse the visibility of the gear, for instance. And so this is one of the actions. I could add other actions, and I will add another one on the left dot, since I've got two dots. Let's take this opportunity. So if you click on the left dot, then and I can pick different actions, and the number of actions is limited for the moment, but it's already useful, and they use it in creative ways, and that's what interests me. And we can invert a class, and so we've got some classes that are defined here in a CSS, for the moment, just basic CSS rules, but the rotation is always something that we want to see. So this class names are taken from the CSS file. So you've got this rotation animation. And now I've got defined these two rules, and I can open the preview. And this is the SVG generated, which is incorporated into just an HTML window. You've got the code, embedding code that's presented here. And if I click on the right dot, just I toggle the visibility of the element. And if I toggle on the right, no, that was not the one. Okay, great. But it's cool too. But to to make the gear turn, because I saw this animation on some applications. Okay. That's better. So if you take any SVG file that is 5 minutes, okay, I will. If you take any SVG file that is displayed on the website in this way, you can just open it into the application, and you've got the rules that are defined, and you can modify them, get inspirations from them, or whatever. And there is one example file, but I won't go through it, with the different actions that are proposed, and you can use them. For instance, if you know Prezi or Sozi, the open source clone of alternative to Prezi. So you can zoom on an element, on this element, for instance. So these kind of actions are proposed and accessible, and not much used actually for the moment by the users. So this is one of my pet peeves, but they don't use it. So it just, yeah, okay, it was fun for me, but not for the actual users. So some more features, as I said, you can, if you update the file, since the rules are declarative, it's only things that we add to the SVG. So you can go back to the process, re-edit the file into your editor, and then reproduce SVG, and then merge back from a previous interactive file the rules that were defined, so that you don't mess up with the whole IDs and whatever elements. You just tweak some elements, and so you can just merge back the data to get all your existing, still working actions. And also the events, this is a technical detail that they don't, it's not still used, but the events are emitted by the SVG element that's proposed. So that means that embedded into the preview window, if you see, you can just listen to the events emitted by the SVG and interact with the rest of the page. So you could imagine having your interactive SVG interact with just itself or interact with the outside world of the web page, if you manage the web page and know for that you know how to code and do JS. It has some shortcomings like It has some coming like requiring the identification of elements, and this is actually a source of this required feedback, because the people realize that either they need to group things together to make it easier to make them visible or whatever, to juggle them, or they need to add some identifiers, because in Illustrator you don't have to specify identifiers, so they often need to re-specify identifiers. And this is, as I said, voluntary limitations of the framework model and possible actions. You can see the gallery, so the slides are on the website, are linked on the FOSDEM webpage. So you've got an example gallery that was built by the users. For instance, you can just see this kind of simple thing, but it's just areas and mouse over and visibility toggling. But yeah, specifying in a simple way is useful. And to come, internationalization, diagnostics on the SVG structure, because there are many details that should be explicit for the users, that are obvious for developers. Okay, you should have an ID. Okay, but no, you've got to tell that to people. And extended event actions and build some shortcuts. But okay, we can go back. Just I wanted to take 2 minutes to think about the research. How does this fit into my, this was only a development thing, and how does this fit into my view of the research? So what I'm studying is more instrumenting the activity of the different activities, so how to build instruments and how to help user-led innovation. So just some food for thought or discussion. There's a psychologist whose name Pierre Abardel, who defined a theory in 1995 of instrumented activity. So you've got an activity and you use instruments in your activity. At first, for instance, a chisel in a woodworking is just a tool, which is a piece of metal with a handle. But as soon as you use it to carve wood, it becomes an instrument that has a purpose. And that instrument will impact the object of the activity, for instance the wood, or and impact the practice of the person, because I don't do the same things if I don't have the right tool for them, or if I don't adapt the tools, because you often adapt the tools. And that's the part also that's interesting, is the process of this activity, that you bring a tool to change the activity, in turn it will update the tool too, because you will want to adapt the tool to this activity and build new things. And one thing, time's up, so this is thing, if people want to talk about this idea in context of interdisciplinary work, so how does this work when I'm a computer scientist, maybe I don't care about the geographer's activity, actually I do, but let's suppose I don't, and they don't care about my work as a developer, but how do we produce interdisciplinary teams that just care about each other's research subjects? So I will end with that and welcome questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions in the room? Thanks for the presentation. The demo was fantastic. My question is, I know you mentioned that internalization is one of your plans, but as someone who can only speak one line of French, would I still be able to use?
Yeah, internationalization. Would you still be after internationalization? Will French disappear? And no, French won't disappear. Internationalization is only adding new language, not removing original ones. And so the French will still be there. Internationalization is not translating everything into English. Internationalization means the user being able to speak the language that she wants.
Phase of this software happens, because is that actually the researcher group you're working with asked for that specific software, or you actually proposed them that solution?
They came with how does the process of building the software just happened, and in what way did they ask for this specific software? Did the users, end users, ask for this specific software, or came with other requirements? And this is one of the things I talked about, interdisciplinary work, and this is really the thing I try to situate myself, is to build importance of dialogue and building common language. So it took a lot of time just to, I know Larry Wall, from the creator of the Perl language, once said that the virtues of programmer was laziness and hubris. So the ambition to create everything, to be great and to be an overlord. But I agree for the laziness, I'm lazy too. But for hubris, I would say rather humility is important, because as a developer, it's easy to just to think, okay, this is trivial and I know what you should do. And it's better to come with some humility and get to learn what other people can teach you, especially in areas you're not comfortable with. It somehow answered the questions.
So we have time for one last question.
Does it play nicely with version control if you wanted to iteratively change a file or collaboratively change a file?
So does it do any version control? Does it play nicely as SVG? So if you've got nice SVG, which is not just one single line without new lines, okay, you can put this into a version control system and it will play nicely.
Is it short or not?
Short.
Then go ahead.
Yeah, some libraries will spit out completely flat SVGs without any like layers or groups or anything like that. Does the software support changing the groups or renaming the layers and so forth, or is that planned feature or something?
So does the software support changing the layers of the group of the organization? That's difficult, because you got to rely on something. At least you got to have a foundation. So the foundation is the structure, actually the IDs of the elements. So just, I'd say just experiment with it.
Yeah, it's on Inkscape and get the layers corrected before.
Yeah, that's the intended way of using it, yes.
So let's thank again, Olivier.